Hey, everybody, this is Mitch Axelrod of Fab Four Free For All. And as we've been telling you on the show, we're going to be having a fundraising event where you can help keep the show alive. And one of the great gifts that we're giving out to you for your donations is a Beatles print generously donated by our longtime listener, Vincent Vigil. And we just happen to have Vincent on the phone with us now, so we'd like to ask him a bunch of things and talk to him about the print and find out how he got into the Beatles and collecting. So welcome, Vincent Vigil. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing real well. Let's talk about the print first that you're very generously donating to us. Let's hear a little bit about that, size, what it's of, and all that good stuff, and then we'll take it from there.
Well, the image will be 16 by 20. It's going to be a fairly large print. And basically, it is of the Beatles at LAX one day before they began their first U.S. tour. It is coming from the vintage 1964 4x5 negative. So, yeah, I'm very, very excited, and I'm very excited to share it with someone.
And I'm assuming since it's vintage 1964, the print is in black and white, or is it in color?
It is in black and white. It's really beautiful, and you will have it on your site, correct?
Absolutely, we will. Yeah, I love black and white photography, and we'll get into that a little bit. Let's get into how you became a Beatle fan and how you became a collector. I know you're a photographer and a Beatles fan, so let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, it all started back in 1967. I kind of started off late. I was introduced to the Beatles by relatives. My first track that that stuck in my mind was I Am the Walrus. And as a little kid, it kind of blew my mind. And I think it still does today, actually. Anyway, so I love the Beatles, but I also loved all the 60s, growing up the 60s groups, the Motown and all that kind of stuff. And just loved music, period. And as it went on, I started noticing like the album covers and things like that. And I would read the Rolling Stone or Cream magazine, Rock Scene. And I started noticing the credits on the side of the photographs. And I really took an interest in that. So a lot of my early heroes were rock and roll photographers, namely Linda McCartney, Jim Marshall, Henry Diltz, Andy Leibowitz, Bob Gruen, and Ethan Russell. Ethan Russell actually being my favorite for a while. His rock and roll photography, if you know it, you'll know what I'm talking about. He photographed for the Rolling Stones, took all of the images for the Get Back, Let It Be sessions, and he's just an awesome photographer.
Yeah, why don't we talk a little bit about each one, if you can? I mean, because each one of them definitely has a tie to the Beatles.
Correct. Well, Linda McCartney, of course, Linda started off as Linda Eastman, who was a rock and roll photographer. People don't know that. And that's how she met Paul, but her work is incredible. Jim Marshall, his claim to fame, well, his Beatle claim to fame was he took all the photographs at their last concert. Henry Diltz, his connection to Paul McCartney, he took the cover of the famous Life magazine cover of him and Linda after the Beatles broke up.
And also worked a lot with the Monkees.
Oh, correct. That's right. I forgot about that. Andy Leibowitz, of course, took the Linda Remembers portrait, as well as the December 8th, 1980 image of him and Yoko nude the day he was shot. Bob Gruen, of course, is basically John and Yoko's personal photographer.
And again, he did the covers of some Kiss albums.
Bob Gruen is, yeah, he's another master. I was just looking through his new compilation book the other night, and
yeah,
his shots of The Clash, his shots of the Sex Pistols, Led Zeppelin are all outstanding.
And he's very, I mean, unfortunately for him, I think he's pigeonholed into that famous New York City shot of John Lennon.
In reality, that has become an iconic image, but in reality, it's almost secondary to a lot of his work. It is an important image, but again, his photograph of The Clash on stage has so much energy in it, and it's probably one of the best in-concert photographs I've ever seen. So with that, with the rock and roll photographers that I grew up with, I want to be a photographer, you know? So I started studying photography myself at Palomar College in California, and became kind of good at it. You know, I don't know if you become good at something. I think it's probably instilled in you, but I did all right. And I started studying about photographers, you know, in that field, as far as Henri Cartier-Bresson, Robert Frank, Diane Arbus, people like that. And wow. I was mainly drawn to photographers that could kind of capture the soul of the person that they were photographing.
Now, speaking of that, Linda McCartney, one of your favorites, you had said, and I always felt that she did that. Again, just like Bob Gruen, he's pigeonholed for the John Lennon New York City shot. And Linda McCartney has really been known for her rock and roll photography, but she is, was also known for her son Prince, her family Prince. There's so much more to her than just the rock and roll. She was an absolute gem of a photographer, and I know you think so.
Yeah, her still lifes are beautiful. Again, I don't know if you want me to talk about the beginning of my collection.
Sure.
The beginning of my collection actually started off with two of Linda's prints. This is way before I actually started studying photography myself. I went to an exhibition in La Jolla, and La Jolla, California. And I think it was one of my first exhibitions, because I think it was kind of green on how all of that worked as far as being able to see the images on the wall, which, folks, if you're just looking at books, forget about it. You need to go to museums and look at the prints. But anyway, to go there, to look at the print, and to be able to purchase a print was pretty incredible to me. So my initial trip down to La Jolla, I bought my first photograph in 1988 by Linda McCartney, and it's the image of Paul McCartney and his sheepdog Martha. And again, not really knowing techniques or anything to do with art other than looking at it and seeing, wow, that there's something about that photograph that really gets me. Well, if you've ever seen it, the composition of the photograph is incredible. And it's really, really nice. And that was the beginning.
And then you also had a little encounter at that exhibit with another photograph, didn't you? You struck some gold, so to speak.
Well, the thing was is that I left there. This was 1988, and I left the exhibition thinking, oh, I should have got something to do with John Lennon. It was only 8 years after his death. And I was thinking, kind of stupidly, because there's no way I would ever sell anything, but as an investment point of view, I thought, well, I should have got something with John Lennon in it. So the story goes is that it took a long time for the photograph to get back to San Diego from Great Britain after they printed them and all that stuff. So I got a phone call from the gallery, and they said the print was ready to be picked up. I went and picked the print up. And as I was tidying up the transaction, the guy behind the clerk said, oh, by the way, we have a print here that came by accident, and we're showing everybody that bought an original print, they might want to see it and may want to purchase it. So I said, sure, what the heck, you know? So I went to the back. He lifted the MPL box lid, and lo and behold, there was a photograph by Linda, and it is the one where it's circa 1968. And I think it's to do with if they are placing the White Album tracks. But some people think it's them writing, but either way, it's John and Paul together, and they're smiling, and you know, they're really showing what great friends they are. And I'm happy to say that I bought it.
Wow.
And that photograph, actually, it's really interesting, is that every time there's a retrospective now of Linda's work, Paul must like that picture too, because it's always included in all of the shows. So I'm very happy that it's part of my collection as well.
That's a great story. And the picture, I think everybody has seen, and if not, we'll try to put it on the site as well, is so iconic. And I think maybe Paul likes it because they're both laughing at a time when maybe the Beatles weren't getting along as well as we would have hoped. And
correct,
they're both laughing and looking down at, like you said, it could be them doing the tracking for the White Album. It could be them writing. But to your other point, isn't that the purpose of a picture or a photograph? I bet if you put that picture up, which you probably have it up somewhere, if you have that somewhere and 10 different people pass it and you don't tell them what it is, you might have 10 different stories.
Correct.
And that's the greatest thing to me about a picture. You know, you can really go by it and then make your own assessment of what it's supposed to mean to you.
That's right. I do have a little side note for when you talked about having it on my walls.
Yeah.
I don't have any of my photographs on my walls.
You're kidding.
No, I don't, because the thing is that as any collector, or especially photography, will tell you, it's very interesting is that photography, back in the day at least, well, you still need light to produce a photograph. Well, light can also take away from a photograph. In other words, if you have an image that is in direct sunlight, that is the worst case scenario for an image. So all of my photographs are boxed up, are all nicely archived and everything else, and they're only really brought out when they're on exhibition.
Wow.
When they're being exhibited somewhere. And,
I mean, what a great thing, but what a shame.
Well, you know, the thing is that I feel that as a collector, I mean, I have actively hunted down these images, be it vintage or modern, hopefully vintage. I feel it's my duty to keep them in pristine condition as I can. I think it's part of my job.
And speaking what you just said, you said you're a collector. Now, I
correct,
know you collect Beatles negatives and photographs. You said you had a 4x5 of the negative you're generously donating.
Correct. The 4x5 negative actually comes from a newspaper, you know, the old-school news cameras they used back in the day. It's from one of those cameras, actually. And I can tell you, actually, this is my little routine. I will buy various negatives and photographs. But the negatives in particular, I get them in my possession, and then I take them down. I'm plugging my friend's Chrome in San Diego, the only place to go as far as photography goes. And the film is inspected by them to make sure that it is a vintage negative, and everything is on the up and up, and we go from there, and everything is digitally scanned and archived.
Now, is it easier to make a print, a larger print from a bigger negative, or is that just a fallacy?
Well, the whole thing behind a bigger negative is, I don't know if it's an easier thing to do, but all I can tell you is the larger the negative, the larger the print. And in fact, I went down to Chrome today and basically to tie in with this whole, you know, giveaway and stuff, not only can people try to bid for or, you know, with the raffle that you guys are doing, but if they want to go to my site, they can also order, this is a brand new thing, a 30 by 40 print.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
And,
pretty big.
Yeah, that was the other thing I was going to kind of spring on you, Mitch, is that while these photographs, you know, the different raffles and things that we do with these images are going on, I'm going to take off $5 that if anybody doesn't win, but they do want that image, they can buy it from me. And again, if you're a Fab Four free-for-all listener, I will take off $5 on the order.
Well, that's very nice. Well, why don't you give your website right now, very slowly and clearly, so people can hear you, so if they want to go on and look at some of the fantastic images that you have.
It is www.vpvphotographs.com.
So vpvphotographs.com.
Correct.
And people will get to see some of the images. I've been on it. I am impressed with some of the really cool images you have. I want to go through a couple of them in particular, if you don't mind. One of my favorite all-time images of the Beatles is from the movie Help, when they're playing on Salisbury Plain when they do the song The Night Before.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a nice, beautiful color image of that, don't you?
Yeah, that would have to be one of my favorite images, actually. It's taken from the 1965 Transparency. And it is the Beatles performing during Help, but it is so surreal. And, well, the whole scene is surreal, but this image is just kind of crazy with them out in the fields. And I just think it's beautiful. I think
it's nice in color, and I know the one that you have also has what appears to be like film sprockets on either side, which really makes it cool.
Well, the thing is I'm so crazy about photography and the origins and everything being authentic, is that part of the scanning process is that I have them do that deliberately because I love all that stuff. I love to see the film number and the film, the creases and the little cutout, whatever.
The authenticity of it, yeah.
Correct, yeah. And there's just something to, you know, that you look at that image and you see all that and you realize, oh, that's from a piece of film. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, it's a beautiful color picture. And I just love the fact that all four are there with their instruments. And it's a very familiar scene if you've seen the movie Help. And if you're listening and you haven't seen the movie Help, well, then I don't know why you're listening. No.
You're not a Beatle fan.
Exactly. But another one that I want to discuss, something really cool, when John Lennon had his solo movie or solo venture into the movies and How I Won the War, you have a couple of shots from that.
Yeah, I got those from somebody that was part of the filming. It came in a little UA envelope and stuff. But, yeah, those are two of my favorites. I like the one actually more so. There's a portrait of John and Michael Crawford together, which is good. They're both young and very nice and all that. But there's another photograph that is my favorite, I think, of the two. And that is John Lennon signing an autograph. And I would venture to say that's him in Germany because the people in the photograph look very European. And you just have to see the image. The thing that really gets me about that photograph is the little boy right dead center of the photograph, of the image, and the way he's looking at John. And that just gets me. And I just think it's a pretty cool picture.
Again, what you said, though, you weren't there, I wasn't there when that picture was taken, but if you look at the photo, you can just imagine what that little boy is thinking.
The admiration you can just see in his eyes.
You know, whether that photographer who took that knew what they were taking, or it was just random shots because it was a Beatle involved and you never knew, it doesn't matter because that photo came out that way and we can interpret it whichever way we want to, can't we?
Yeah, and the thing is that I guess, you know, as we're talking, I guess I do have a real thing about if a photographer can capture some sort of interaction going on, there's just something about it. And speaking of, I think there's another photograph on there. And that's the image of Paul McCartney and this little girl. That was taken. Actually, it was taken, I think it was a couple of days after the photograph at LAX. And it's Paul and a little girl at a charity event. Now, Paul is looking at the girl, and the girl is looking away. And again, the interaction between the two of them is, you know, dare I say, magical. You know, there's something about it. And I've actually taken it a step further to where as I look at that photograph, that image, and, you know, it is 1964. The Beatles had come back full force to tour. And I think of the little girl maybe as the U.S. and Paul McCartney representing the Beatles, you know.
That's pretty wild.
And, and our reaction to them, you know, just one of disbelief.
Oh, absolutely. You're one of your interpretations, which, again, if people go on to your website at www.vpvphotographs.com and look at that, I'm sure they'll have their own interpretation of it. You know,
correct.
Mean, there are so many different ways to look at it. Now, you've also helped out with some Beatle books.
Well, I helped out with one of them, actually. I helped a sweetheart of a woman. Her name is Jude Sutherland Kessler. And basically, I helped locate the cover of her book, Shivering Inside, which is one thing. But I think my proudest little thing is in the back of the book is a reproduction of a contact sheet of Brian Epstein that is from my collection.
Wow.
And that's a little cheap thrill, you know, to be able to share like that for other people to see something that maybe they haven't seen before.
What I like about that is that, as many Beatle fans have done, you've continued, Beatle fans tend to give to each other, you know, and help out each other when it's necessary. And I think the picture, you know, that you had lent to Ms. Kessler, her books are, I think she has two now, right?
She has two books. I was only involved with the second one, Shivering Inside, and I helped to, again, to find the image that's on the front of the book, because I thought it was a perfect image of John, you know, with the title. So I helped with that.
Now, you also do exhibitions, don't you?
I do exhibitions. I'm glad you asked that. In fact, if anybody listening that's in the San Diego, California area, I do have an idea for an exhibition. Well, I've got a few things happening. First off, one thing I can't say too much about is an involvement with the Grammy Museum, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay, leave people wondering. That's all right.
Correct. And let's see what's going on. What else is going on? Especially with that image, people are definitely having an interest in that image. I'm also in talks with the Beatles Story in Liverpool that are interested in the image that we're going to be raffling away. So last year, I did a little mini exhibition in Oceanside Museum of Art. And I'm going to stick with this title for my exhibitions from now on because I think it's so intelligent, actually. And the show is called The Beatles. I Saw the Photograph. And it's really funny because I'll tell you, I've been waiting for years for someone else to use that title, and I've never seen it before. Maybe they have. I don't know. But I just think it's the smartest thing for a photographic exhibition. So there you go.
It's a line from the song.
Correct. That's right. Well, that's where it's taken from, but I thought it was the best title for an exhibition.
Oh, absolutely. It's
with photographs. So I have done that. Just to let people know, the collection runs from 1959. It's actually a shot of John and Paul at the Casbah.
Wow.
To my collection ends December 8th, 1980. With a print of John and Yoko at the Dakota on that day.
How many photos do you have in the exhibit usually?
Well, it just depends. I compiled a two-book portfolio when I went up to the Grammy Museum to speak to them. So I think it was over 50 images. You know, you don't want to bombard people with images. It could go on because I have thousands of photographs, but 50 is kind of a good number.
And what's your favorite in the exhibit when you do it?
Well, the one we're raffling for starters, that's probably the best photograph for the opening to an exhibition. I think it's a very welcoming image, and I think it fits well with the title of the exhibition. So that's one of them. Of course, the Annie Leibovitz is another one, which is always separated from the rest of them because it's pretty hard-hitting.
Right.
And there's so many. There's just so many.
So you do exhibitions, you help other Beatle fans with their projects, and you help us with Alan Project fundraise in order to keep the show going by donating a 16x20 print of the Beatles arriving at LAX in 1960.
Well, I'll tell you this, is that I have to tell you that my doing this, it's pretty selfish on my part as well, because the thing is that your show gives me so much pleasure, and it's my Beatles weekly fix.
Well,
so you don't even know. You don't know what your show has given to me. Your sense of humor is hysterical for the most part. And very informative and very nice. In fact, you know what? I wanted to tell you something before we end, is that you guys were talking about what John Lennon writes in A Hard Day's Night.
Oh, boy, that's a big controversy we had.
But are you ready for this? There's film footage of, that's another thing that your listeners should know, and hopefully you'll post it. There's film footage of when that photograph was taken. You can go on YouTube and put in Beatles at LAX, August 18th, 1964, and it has that press conference where that photograph was taken. Well, in that interview, a girl asked John Lennon what he wrote on that piece of paper.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And he said, crap.
And he said, crap?
As in, crap game.
Oh, okay.
But just watch that footage. I'll resend it to you if you don't have it.
Yes,
but,
please. Post it up. That's pretty funny because most people have been trained to think that he wrote something dirty.
Correct. Well, he actually, he yelled it out to this girl, what he wrote.
Oh, all right. So that solves a mystery. That's good. I'm glad we have some.
Isn't that interesting? And another thing I was going to say about your show. Your show is so cool that your last show with A Hard Day's Night, it actually prompted me to watch the movie again.
Oh, that's nice.
And that's really something else. I mean, you know, when you can get to somebody to check out something, and I like the way you guys will talk about the different albums that maybe went unnoticed originally. I like all of that stuff. See, you guys are helping the Beatles. It's a big circle, you see, to whereas you're helping different people, different artists, that kind of thing. It comes full circle, you know, that somebody's going to be wanting to help you guys, too.
Well, that's very nice of you. Thank you. And we want to just, again, tell people that for any amount that they donate to keep the show going, they are automatically going to be entered into this raffle to win this beautiful 16x20 black and white print of the Beatles in August of 64, arriving in LAX. That's Los Angeles.
The day before their first concert in the U.S. Well, their tour, actually.
Right.
And I think it's maybe 3 or 4 days before Hollywood Bowl.
Yes,
like
probably it is. Hollywood Bowl.
And I just wanted to also tell you that, with your permission, of course, we're going to be doing different prints for the rest of the year.
Yeah, let's see how this goes, and we'll definitely...
I don't know if you're interested in that.
I'm sure our listeners would definitely be interested once they see these. So why don't you give your website once again before we end, and definitely have them go to the site.
My website is VPV Photographs, www.vpvphotographs.com.
Well, Vincent, this really has been a pleasure. We really found out a little bit about you, which was nice because we always want to find out about our loyal listeners and your generosity and your incredible collection. Hopefully people will take your advice and go to vpvphotographs.com and see your collection and maybe even try to schedule an exhibit or two on the West Coast with you. And we hope to speak to you again soon in the near future. And thank you so much for your generosity.
Thank you so much, too. Again, I want to thank you for all the pleasure you have given me, and I'm sure the Beatle people around the world. So keep up the good work.
Thank you so much for that. We really do appreciate it, and we will talk to you soon.